button.
Just means that Mel will be throwing stuff at me. It's really good to be with you this afternoon. My apologies if I'm a little croaky. It's typical, isn't it? I had a funeral on Friday, a wedding on Saturday, preach on Sunday, up to Wednesday I was fine. So if I cough and splutter a little bit, I apologise. So one of the regular things that I did when I was minister at South Bank Baptist, I can't say that it was every week because it was a bit hit and miss, but most Tuesday mornings I would spend an hour or so prayer walking around South Bank. Occasionally I would go on my own, but most weeks it would be three of us, and every now and again one or two others might join us as well. So we'd spend a little bit of time beforehand in my office praying for one another, praying that God would prompt us with what we should pray, praying that God would help us see what he sees as we walk around different parts of South Bank, and praying that if there was someone that he really wanted us to meet, really wanted us to talk to, really wanted us to pray with, then we would bump into them. And then we would simply pick a particular street or two, and we would walk, and we would pray. And just as an aside, I would just like to say that that puts absolutely to bed the question about whether men can multitask. Because for me, walking and praying is multitasking. So you'll have no more of that. Anyway. So as we walked, as we prayed, occasionally we would meet someone, chat to someone, pray for someone. But mostly we would just walk whichever street we're on, praying for God to bless these homes that we walk by, bless the families that lived in them, the individuals that lived there, praying for God's Spirit to move and bring peace and freedom and hope and so much more. And particularly I would pray that God would change the atmosphere, that God would change the spiritual atmosphere of South Bank. And I prayed that particular prayer a lot in my time as minister there. God, would you change the atmosphere? Would you drive out the darkness? Would you let your light shine in South Bank? I prayed that a lot over the 10 years that I was there. And it felt important to me to pray that consistently and regularly. Because often it would feel, particularly as I was prayer walking through different streets, but not only then, it would feel like a real heavy atmosphere hung over South Bank. And it wasn't just one or two streets. It was the whole of the area. And I don't think it's just South Bank either. But to me, it feels like that there's a real heaviness would settle over our whole community. And maybe it's the same in the streets around where you live. There was, and there is, in my opinion, a real battle, a real spiritual struggle over South Bank and the surrounding area. There was when I came to South Bank, and for many years before that, I'm sure, and there still is now. And I think it's clear that God is moving, and I think it's clear that God is at work. But I think the battle is fierce, possibly more fierce than it's ever been before. And there is most definitely a spiritual element. But I also think that what's happening in the world around us right now has a huge impact on how our communities feel day to day. I don't know about you, but with all the conflict at the moment, I don't think I've ever been so uneasy turning on the news. And on top of all that's happening in the world, there is so much happening in our own country. You know, the rise of certain political views, the unease in so many communities around immigration, the spiralling cost of fuel for the car, the price of even the most basic foods rising and rising, the cost of keeping our homes warm, the uncertainty of what might happen over the coming weeks and months. All of this adding to the enormous pressure that our communities feel, the enormous pressure that so many people, so many families are under right now. And on top of that, So many families that I know seem to be going through extraordinarily tough times at the moment. And I want to help, but I don't really know how. So someone might tell me, oh, we've got a family member in hospital at the moment. Can I do anything to help? Not really, John. They say, just keep us in your prayers. Someone else might tell me that their son or daughter is having a really tough time at school at the moment. Can I do anything to help? Not really, John. They say, just pray for us. Someone else really worried about how they're going to pay their bills over the next few months. Their job isn't very secure. Can I help? Not really, John, but please keep me in your prayers. I'm sure that many of us here are praying for other people, maybe a family member, maybe a close friend. And we're asking God to do something specific. We're asking God to help them. And some of these things that we're praying about, some of these things that we're asking God to do, they are absolutely massive. So let me ask you a question. When you're praying for those big things, when you're asking God to do something absolutely massive, like change the spiritual atmosphere over a community, like drive the darkness out, like let his light shine, like heal this person, like change this family's circumstance. When you're praying those really big prayers, do you ever have any doubts? And I don't think I mean, do you doubt that there is a God or anything like that? What I mean is, do you ever doubt, do you ever worry that you're not saying the right things? Or that you haven't got enough faith? Or that you aren't quite a good enough Christian to be praying these kind of things? Do you ever think that you've been praying this prayer for so long and nothing seems to have happened? So actually you must be doing something wrong. Do you ever think that, well, God seems to answer these prayers, the prayers of others, but he doesn't seem to answer mine, so what's the point? Or do you ever feel overwhelmed that the thing that you're praying for is so big, so complicated, so set, so stuck, that you don't even know where to begin praying about it? Maybe in the back of your mind there is this question, well, can God do this anyway? Any of this sound familiar to anyone? Anyone else struggle with these kind of things? Anyone else have doubts that their prayers actually make a difference? Anyone else ever wonder if God will actually do what needs to be done? I know I do. Not all of the time, but I do. And sometimes it's because I feel overwhelmed. All of the need, all of the brokenness, all of the struggles, the battles that I face and other people face. It just feels relentless and constant and never ending and a bit hopeless. And sometimes I feel discouraged and I get worn down and I find it really hard to pray these big prayers. I find it really hard to believe that God will actually move in power at this moment and do mighty things. It's not very encouraging at the moment, is it? So why am I telling you all this? Because although I struggle with this, I feel like God has met me in my struggle and reminded me of something really important. And this is what I want to share with you this afternoon. I believe that God took me to a passage in the book of Numbers, which I've got to say isn't kind of up there at my most favourite and regular readings, which maybe is why it stuck with me. But he took me to a passage in the book of Numbers, which I want to read to you now. And I'm going to read it from the NIV, because there's a specific phrase that I believe God reminded me of, and it comes in the NIV. So I'm going to read to you from Numbers 11, verse 10, but just to give you a little bit of context. So the people of Israel, led by Moses, they have escaped Egypt. Well, God has rescued them, and they're wandering through the desert on their journey to the promised land. But the people are unhappy. All they have to eat every meal, every day, is something called manna, kind of biscuity thing that tastes of olives. And they remember the food that they had in Egypt, meat and fish and leeks and onions and garlic. And they're complaining. They're complaining that they don't like life in the desert. They want to go back to Egypt because at least they had good food to eat. So that's where we're picking up the story. And it's Numbers 11, starting at verse 10. So Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you've put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I've found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take up the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow where you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt.' Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. And you will not eat it just for 1 day or 2 days or 5 or 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?' But Moses said, 'Here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?' The Lord answered Moses, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you.'" Is the Lord's arm too short? In other words, is the Lord powerless to help? Is the Lord's arm too short? Of course not. It can never be. So this afternoon, I want to remind you and myself that nothing is impossible for God. The Lord's arm is not too short. The Lord's arm is never too short. Nothing is impossible for God. The Lord's arm is not too short. And I'm not saying that lightly. I am not saying that flippantly or carelessly. I'm not saying that in a, "Don't worry, everything's going to be okay, you just need to trust God and pray more" kind of way. I am saying that for those of us who are at the point of giving up. I'm saying it for those of us who are on the edge of saying, "You know, God, I am desperate. I just can't see a way through this." I am saying it for those of us who have moments when we're full of worry, full of anxiety, and think, "This is hopeless. I just can't go through this again." I'm saying this for those of us who have times when we think, "What do I do now? I haven't a clue what I'm supposed to do now." Let's just take a moment to drink this in. The Lord's arm is not too short. The Lord's arm is never too short. I mean, this chapter in Numbers is just a bonker story, isn't it? The people of Israel, you know, Moses says there's 600,000 men, plus women, plus children. So easily 1.5 million people, you would think, freed from slavery, wandering in the desert, but complaining about the food. complaining that they've got to eat the same thing every day, and it doesn't taste very nice either. And they start reminiscing about the food they had in Egypt. We had onions and garlic and melons and cucumbers. Never known anyone to get so excited about cucumbers before. I mean, they gloss over the fact that they were slaves in the land. So they go to Moses and demand that he finds meat to eat. And so God says to Moses, well, I will feed them meat. 1.5 million people, remember? And God promises meat in the desert every day for a month. You can just kind of see Moses going, really? Really? How are you going to do that then? And God's response, is the Lord's arm too short? And this is what I think God wanted me to hear. God wanted to remind me of. Because I've been feeling a bit overwhelmed and a bit discouraged and a bit worn down by life. And I think this is what God wants each one of us to hear this afternoon. And remember it for the days and the weeks to come. Nothing is impossible for him. His arm is not too short. His arm is never too short. And I totally get that this story in Numbers 11, it is 1 million miles away from what we know, from what we have experienced, from what we are living through today. Totally get that there isn't an easy way that we can relate to this bit of the story. But I am convinced that what God wanted to say to his people back then, he says to his people today. He says to us, is the Lord's arm too short? Nothing is impossible for God. His arm is not too short. His arm is never too short. So even if it feels like everything is falling apart, even if it feels like things are just getting worse and worse and worse, even if we feel overwhelmed by everything that we have to deal with and everything that is going on around us, we can cry out to God. God, can you help? Can you provide? Can you change this? And his response, is the Lord's arm too short? But God, can you help? I mean, can you really help? Can you stop me from worrying? Can you help me sleep at night? Can you get me through this? His response, is the Lord's arm too short? You know, maybe we're not worried about ourselves, but we're worried about someone in our family, a neighbour, a friend. God, I'm not even sure they believe in you, but they're really struggling. Will you help them? Can you help them? What about bringing a whole nation through a time of crisis? I mean, wouldn't that be handy right now? About bringing a whole nation through a time of crisis. Then God miraculously fed them again and again and again. Now, God, we need you to do something. Can you really do something? Is the Lord's arm too short? God can change a nation. God can reassure individuals and everywhere in between. No matter what they're going through, he will be with us. Nothing is impossible for him. His arm is never too short. I wonder what it makes you think, just hearing this on a Sunday afternoon. Hearing that the Lord's arm is not too short, that the Lord's arm is never too short. Does that give you strength and hope to carry on? Because that's the thing, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know how long you have been struggling with it. I don't know the pain and the anguish and the disappointment and all of that stuff wrapped up. I don't know what it is or who it is that you're thinking of right now as I talk about this stuff. I don't know what you might feel overwhelmed about or what it is that you just don't think you can manage anymore. I don't know what it is that you've been bringing and bringing and bringing before God. Or whether you're at the point of wanting to give up. But I do know this, and I don't say it lightly, and I don't say it flippantly, and I don't say it casually. I say it because God Himself, our Father in heaven, says it to us today. Is the Lord's arm too short? No. The Lord's arm is never too short. Let's pray together. I'm going to give you a moment just to be quiet, just to think about what you've heard. Maybe God is giving you a prompt, even as we think now. So I'm just going to give you a moment to be quiet, and then I'm going to pray. Lord, I want to thank you that your word is always true. And that your truth does not change over time, over circumstance, over generations. Your word does not change. Your character does not change. So who you were in the time of Moses, you are today. How you responded to your people then, you respond to us today. Lord, I thank you that even though the things that we feel like we face are so big, so difficult, so complex, so painful, none of them are bigger than you. None of them are beyond your control. None of them are beyond your redemption. None of them are beyond your transformation. Thank you that you're the God who meets us where we are, that you don't expect us to be perfect, that you don't expect us to have everything sorted before you'll start listening and answering our prayers. Thank you that you're the God who is full of grace and mercy and love, and you'll meet us where we are, and you will hear us, and you will respond to us. So I think that's my prayer right now, Lord. Not that you would step in and transform all of our situations and circumstances, but rather that you would step in and that you would transform us. That you would transform each one of us with your gentle love. That our faith in you might be strengthened, maybe even restored. That our trust in you might be built up. That our hope in you might be stronger than it was yesterday. Lord, would you transform us so that we might then be renewed in bringing our prayers to you, those people, those situations, those circumstances that we long to see you work in. We might be renewed in bringing them to you. So Lord, transform us, I pray, through a touch of your Spirit. Remind us, Lord God, that we are part of your people, that we are loved by you, that we are precious to you, that we matter to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.